You're listening to Awake, a men's podcast by Fellowship Bible Church. Welcome back to the Awake podcast. We are so excited to be back with you for another episode of diving into our calling as men for this year. I'm Liam, one of your hosts, joined as always by Sean. Sean, how's it going?
It's going great, Liam. I'm always happy that you ask me to come back every single time.
So. It's always fun to have you, brother. I think you were going to mention a couple of quick things at the top. Do you want to just share with the guys a couple of things that are coming up for this next calendar?
Yeah. Joe made reference to it during his weekend series about green, how much green's going on outside now. So warmer weather is coming up. We've got the, if you're listening to this at the beginning of this week, sorry, towards the middle, but it's the Father-Son Campout. It's going on up at Banner Creek Lake.
Yep.
So we're really looking forward to that. Got quite a few guys signed up. You don't have to register exactly.
No, you should register.
Oh, yeah.
You should register. There's a liability waiver that we need you to sign. Yeah, so, yeah, definitely register just so that we make sure that we cover our butts and that you guys are taken care of as well, too.
Yeah.
And the good, and you'll get the packing information and all of that stuff. So definitely
good thing I
register.
Got you here. Yeah, to clean that up.
But, good news is the lake was up 6 inches with the rain.
So awesome.
There we go.
That's awesome. Really important.
Cool. Yeah, that Keith, you'll be out there too under that. Yep. We're looking forward.
Friday
night. Yeah. That voice you guys hear on there is Keith Kelly, part of our men's ministry. So we'll get to him here in a few moments. But yeah, so we've got that coming up. And then we also have the Men's Golf League.
Yep.
That keep an eye out for more information on that. I know a couple of us were trying to put together a reoccurring night out at Western Hills. Shout out Western Hills.
Yeah, and shout out to Shay Kersop, Justin Armbruster, and Mitch, and you as well, Sean, who guys who have been really excited about bringing something like this back for men in our church to just have a, you know, two times a month to get out in the evening, dinner together at the course, and then just play a round of golf. It's just going to be a fun time. It's not going to be competitive. We're not keeping, well, some people are competitive, but I mean that by saying, like, we're not keeping scores. This isn't like an official league. This is just a night to get out and play with guys in the church. So would love to see you. Just keep an eye out on your emails, be paying attention to different men's ministry events as we kind of share more information about that.
For sure.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, today's episode is going to be all about leadership. And so when Sean and I were kind of sitting down and talking about, okay, who do we want to have on? The first guy that kind of popped into our head was Keith Kelly. Keith Kelly has been on our men's ministry leadership team for a little while now.
Yeah.
And so we are super excited to have Keith on the show. Keith, welcome to the Awake podcast.
Thanks, guys. It just shocked me that you would ask me to do this and be on here. I just didn't feel like I was worthy, but I appreciate the fact that you guys had me get on and do this. So,
we would, if you don't mind, we'd love to, for you to tell us a little bit about you. I know we know you, but to share some with the guys listening, just about your involvement at the church, but also just your family, your work, just give us a little background of Keith.
Sure. So my wife, Ann, and I have been here about 6 years, both, been involved. I've probably been a little bit more involved. My wife just retired after 36 years. And so she's helping with guest services. I've served on the parking team. Most recently I'm with the safety team, men's leadership, been involved with the, Friday morning prayer group, from almost, the beginning. Or really enjoy that group, do a Bible study on Tuesday with some guys, and just enjoy being around guys and helping with that. Our family, we live north of Topeka on a farm. I'm retired. I retired at 55 from another job, and we own a business, self-storage business. We've had that, it just amazes me, 24 years now.
Wow.
We had a cow-calf operation, so raised, it was a great place to raise kids. They just love being outside and having places to go and run in the creek. And as far as our kids, we have three kids. They're all adults now. My daughter is 30. She's an occupational therapist. My son is a welder. He's 23. And my youngest son is in the military and going to school.
Awesome.
And he's 20. So, yeah, living on the farm.
And you also have a little bit more work that you do.
I do.
Tell us a little bit about that.
I do. So sold our cow herd about 3 years ago, little over that, and decided that I would get into politics a little bit. I don't like to call it politics. I was looking for a place I could serve our community. And I had some older folks that I've known in our community for years that asked me to run for any commission. And so I did that, and I actually won. And so I'm 3 years and 4 months into that, and up for re-election this year. And so,
all right.
I love serving our community.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So any Jackson County listeners out there, we need to get you guys in contact with a conversation. That's all you're looking for, right?
Yeah.
There'll be a submit a question form that you can just direct all your county questions to Keith.
My cell phone number will scroll across the bottom.
Exactly. Yeah. Put that in.
Exactly.
Yeah. No free ads. We'll take a coffee date for this one, Keith.
So you have had quite a few different experiences of leading in a lot of different environments in your life, and so that's a big reason why we wanted to have you on to this specific episode, because today we're going to be talking about the idea of spiritual leadership, and specifically the image of leadership that we see so much in the scriptures is a picture of a shepherd as a leader. So I'm just kind of curious from you guys, why do you think that is such a common image when we look at leaders in the Bible? Why is that? Where did it start? Kind of, what do you think?
Yeah, in reading this book, this phrase hits it for me. It says it is the shepherd watching over, protecting, and leading the flock. And for me as a dad or a leader in our community or whatever I'm on, boards or whatever, it's important to, lead in that way, the way the Bible kind of talks about shepherding, creating an environment, that kind of thing that people feel valued.
Yeah, definitely. I know when I saw this was one of the questions I kind of had, thought how many times it's used in the Bible, and then kind of where that some of those first references are to the shepherd use. And if I'm not mistaken, Abel would have been like the first actual shepherd. You're saying from the very beginning.
Adam too, to some degree.
Okay, like he was over probably, the animals.
I mean, he was over all the animals, but there was probably some degree of shepherding involved in what he did.
So from the beginning, that's like a model, person. Right. Like this is what I need you to do: cultivate and keep. This is like that. We've been running off the masculine mandate, right? Just as a refresher, that as our men's ministry team, how do we grow? So the shepherd. Just seeing that and kind of just doing a little bit more of a dive these past couple weeks was just that they were the center, right? That they were like the lowly kind of sometimes. The outcast and that, and how many times does scripture show that the outcast is exactly who God calls us into and from, and Jesus searches out onto that. So it just seems like God's inspired scripture wants that shepherd to be, towards the top of what he, deems priority jobs because of the role and the importance and everything that sheep did to that environment.
I've worked with animals very little in my life. When I was in college, I worked for a farmer for a little while who did kind of like a Gary's Berries kind of like, corn maze and all this stuff. And he had a bunch of horses and things. So I took care of some of the horses, fed some of the cattle. But Keith, you've spent more time with animals.
Yeah.
And I know it's not like a direct one-to-one shepherding sheep, just like caring for cattle. But I can imagine, and I'm just speculating here, but it's a get your hands dirty and be with the animals kind of job.
Absolutely. Yeah. For most ranchers who take care of cattle, they always come first.
Yeah.
And it's typically not when it's the best weather or the best conditions or the most convenient. And so to me, it requires a great deal of sacrifice. But it's a good sacrifice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a really good sacrifice.
And I think that is like what you were talking about, Sean, that it's kind of this, it is an unappealing position to be in. Like it's dirty, it's grimy, it is not the best timing when you are, you've got, some cows that are calving and it's right. pouring rain or whatever.
And, or snowing.
Or snowing and the weather's terrible.
Freezing, absolutely.
Yeah, or it's early and you got to get out and you got
something's broken. You got to fix it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just like this picture of shepherd leadership is one of immense sacrifice and service. Mm-hmm. And like you were talking about, Sean, it's all the way back in the very beginning, Adam and his boys. Mm-hmm. But then even it's Moses. He was a shepherd for a while when he was in kind of his little quasi exile in Midian, and then so was David. And I mean, most of the patriarchs were shepherds to some degree. They were caring for flocks, and they also had a lot of people helping with that. But then we have mm-hmm. the picture of Jesus as the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like this is the picture of God himself. He has imaged himself to us as a shepherd, and we are the sheep. Mm-hmm. We are the ones that are dirty and are inconvenient, and we need help at bad times, and he's the one who kind of steps in and gives us that picture of
don't always
leadership.
Stay in the pasture.
We don't.
I can't help but wonder that that little video that Joe showed like a couple of years ago of that the sheep that's stuck in this little cavern thing, and the guy comes and helps him get it out, pulls it out, and just immediately right back in. Yeah. Under that. I mean, that gets stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
I think that sacrifice was is a huge kind of mm-hmm. word into like what qualities a shepherd leader would kind of look like. And mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a ton of qualities that you've had to kind of have within your home life, but your work life, and this political, what kind of qualities do you feel like you've needed to possess, for your family? You know, we have beginning family. So mm-hmm. what would you say you kind of needed to possess, for that?
I think when kids are little, just being with them, sacrificing time to be around them and teach them. I think one of the things that I really liked about being on the farm was helping neighbors mm-hmm. and showing that example of, it's not the most convenient thing that we can do, but we have a lot of older neighbors around, and so being able to help them, show the kids that's just what we do. It was important. Just trying to give that example.
It's almost like seeing your family to some degree. That's like, okay, this is my flock.
Right.
These are the ones that I have to take care of.
Right.
And I feel this way, Sean, you speak for yourself, but we both have really young kids.
Yep.
And it feels like right now, this is a very exhausting, physically demanding season of life.
You're speaking with me.
Okay. Yeah. I figured. Yep. And so it feels like a very much like physically hands into the muck and the mire of shepherding, caretaking, teaching how to live and just kind of be a person in the world. That's kind of like just like the baseline of what we're trying to teach Noah, right? And
I'd like to tell you guys that it gets easier, but it just is different.
Yeah.
As your kids, all of our kids are out of the house, and you think, well, okay, at 16, maybe things will be different, or at 18 or mm-hmm. 20 or 24 or 30, but it's just different. You still have those same feelings as a dad that you help guide and give advice, but trying to give biblical advice mm-hmm. and encourage your kids. I tell you, one of the biggest things for me is prayer for my kids in just whatever situation they're in, because families aren't always neat and tidy and that type of thing.
Yeah.
One of the qualities I had wrote down when getting ready for this was just boundaries, right? Like what are good. So
yeah, talk a little bit about that.
It just makes me think, as you know, Annika approaches 1 year old, she's getting into more things, and mm-hmm. you know, the word no is kind of coming out a little bit more often, or so it's like early on these, you know, moral and ethical boundaries that I'm trying to set up with like a 1 year old, right? Mm-hmm. And like what is good and what is not good. Mm-hmm. And as I'm listening to you talking, like that's fast forward 20 years,
right,
and you're still trying to have these boundaries with your kids. What
Absolutely.
Is good and what is not good. And so,
yeah,
that's been, and not only Annika, you know, talking about our kids, but the leaders of our households too, right? Mm-hmm. Our wives, and what are the boundaries that I have with my wife, and are they good? And I say that to where it's like you don't really need to have boundaries with your significant other to where everything's not open, but to some healthy degree. I'm sure there are certain type of, you know, boundaries maybe where we go in an argument to where it's like we cannot kind of cross these type of ethical sure. or moral stuff like that. Yeah. So just even as I talk this out, trying to, you know, live this out and understand this with Jessica as well. How do I take things that are said from this conversation and continue to apply them and grow as the leader of my household. But boundaries is definitely one of the things that it seems like is starting now, you know, at one and never
get rid of them.
It's making me think of Psalm 23, which is just like the quintessential shepherd passage in scripture, other than, you know, Jesus being the good shepherd. But yeah, in the beginning of the psalm, it talks about the Lord being our shepherd, and that we don't want for anything because He is the one who watches over us. He's the one who cares for us. He leads us to places of rest. It's something that He does. It says that He guides our feet along the right path for His name's sake. And even when we walk through dark valleys, He is there with us. His rod and His staff protects and comforts us. Yeah. And I think that for me, I guess I've thought through this kind of shepherd leadership model. Like, that's been a really helpful grid, because I think about how, okay, if we as men are trying to model this kind of shepherd leadership that God represents to us, it's how are we helping the people that are in our care, in our spheres of influence, whether it's work in a political sector or whether it's in our families, how are we leading them to places of flourishing, places of rest that God leads us? How are we using the wisdom of God's word to direct along the right path for the sake of His name, not our name?
Right.
And then also, how do we use the rod to protect and the staff to guide in dark valleys? Now, it's not saying we're going to use the rod to hit people.
Right.
But how do we protect in prayer, like doing spiritual battle with and for people when warfare pops up? How do we correct well when we need to have courage to enter into difficult conversations and conflict? Like, I've just kind of been trying to think through that as we've been talking. It just kind of popped up. I was like, man, that's a grid right there.
Right. You were talking about how do we make people guide them into by still waters and just, you know, make them feel comfortable and stuff. And I think for me as in a position as a commissioner, how do I apply some of those things to the people who are I like to call it on our team. I don't like to call it people who are work for me. And I like to create a team environment. And I was telling you earlier that we do a lunch with the commissioners, not so that we can talk shop, but so that we can talk about their families, their likes, what they do, how many kids they have, what are their kids into. And I think creating that environment really helps in the team effort, because ultimately what I've always tried to push out is that as employees of a county, we're there to serve the people who live there. And that's really we're serving, and to be able to serve in that capacity is good. And just creating an environment all the way around from all the different departments where they feel comfortable and empowered to do what they do and do it well and encourage. I think there was a saying that everything that goes right, you give credit to all the employees. You don't ever take credit for it, but everything that goes wrong, that's my fault. And so I really try to think about that when making decisions and what's going on.
That's a great perspective. And I would say that that's pretty uncommon. So I'm curious, and the wide range of spheres of leadership that you have experienced, because you've been a leader in the church, you've led in your own business, you've led in the political and public sector. And then I can't remember what your job was before you retired.
I worked for the Kansas Turnpike Authority.
Right. But then also in your family as well. Right. So how have you seen, or what have been some of the different pictures of leadership that you've seen, and where have they kind of fallen short of that biblical picture of shepherd leadership?
Good question.
Yeah. So, tough question. Early on, when in the church we were at previously, I was an elder there and did all kinds of things. It was a small church, so it was on a lot of different boards and stuff, and made mistakes. But the cool thing is, I had a guy that came alongside of me and helped mentor me through that process. But just involving the family in that, having them, showing them the example of how important church is. Man, one of the biggest conflicts that we would have with our daughter was if there was a sporting event going on Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And she really struggled with that and held on to that for a lot of years because I said, you know, being at church is the most important thing, being involved in our church. And so walking her through why that was important when all of her friends were off playing basketball someplace or softball someplace, you know, was not easy. But I think it was a really important lesson to give. And tell me that what was the kind of the other part of that you were?
Yeah, I guess just like what's kind of that picture of leadership that we see in the world that kind of falls short of that image of shepherd leadership?
Yeah, I think for me and a lot of guys, shepherd leadership is not manly.
Hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, unpack that a little bit for us.
So, you know, Jake, my youngest son, played a lot of football, and we had a coach that, boy, his language was just pretty tough. And, you know, I said to him one day, I said, these are young men that you're trying to mold. And he goes, that's just the way men talk. So it's that kind of thing that I think sometimes the world thinks that, you know, leadership is barking orders and telling your family what to do and toe the line, and this is how it's going to be. And so I think shepherd leadership is nowhere near that. It's fostering an environment where kids and your wife feel involved. And, you know, on the farm, a lot of times there are large purchases, whether it be land or equipment or whatever. And I would go to Ann and I'd say, hey, thinking about doing this. And she goes, well, I have no idea about that piece of equipment. Why would you ask me? I said, because I want your involvement in it. I want your... You give me a different perspective,
and I
think that is it hit her in a way like, wow, I can't believe he would ask me my perspective, you know, about something like that. And it's just worked over the years, and that's what I've tried to do there.
I think that's awesome, and it just kind of speaks to the, I guess the word that popped into my head when I think about kind of a worldly kind of leadership is that it's predominantly about control. That's what it feels like.
That's what it feels like. Yeah. It's not always, but
But it's like, I need you to listen to me. And when I say jump, you jump.
Right.
And that's what I feel like you were kind of explaining in some of that.
That's correct.
That picture of leadership. And in this case, it's understanding that when it comes to leading people, change is often a slow process.
Oh, yeah.
And flourishing in places of still waters and green pastures where people flourish, where rest is found, where joy is found, and that doesn't happen by us forcing it.
Right.
It's by leading and guiding and serving and sacrificing,
which
is the picture of bringing Ann into those conversations and inviting her in. It's making sacrifices for your family and at work. And
yeah, you know, in showing the kids that, dad can be wrong, and here's how dad deals with that. We had a neighbor who, so in the out in the country, you have fences around most of your fields, and so when you're standing on the inside of the fence, the left hand side is your responsibility, the right hand side is the other owner's. And we built a bunch of fence, and the neighbor I thought was gonna, he had told me he would help pay for that fence, and that's just what neighbors do. Then he made a decision to not do that. And at first it made me really angry. But then I went, okay, I gotta get past this. So I went to the guy and shared that, you know, I'm okay with it, and I forgave it. And I wanted my kids to see that. And I explained to them why I did what I did. I said, I don't want to hang on to that for the next 40 years, you know, and it makes good neighbors that way. And so trying to lead them and explain to them when I make mistakes, whether it be anger, you know, they're on the farm. I mean, boy, there were some days when we were working cattle, you know, I wanted things going just like, you know, and if the boys weren't doing what I wanted, I would pop off. And so being able to share with them and apologize and saying, you know, boy, I was really wrong in that situation. I think it's a big part of leadership in your family. Mm-hmm. Because too often we just go, I'm going to yell and scream or do whatever, and they'll just have to get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do what I say, not what I do. Leadership that I felt like I heard from, like, you know, my dad, or, you know, just mm-hmm. leaders in position, you know, leading by example is what you're showing, you know, that the actions are louder than words. But yeah, do as I say, not as I do is one of the most common leader phrases I think I've heard.
And I think sometimes when we're doing this well, and particularly when I think about doing this with kids, but even with, you know, spouses, friends in the workplace, with employees, mm-hmm. like sometimes when we're bringing somebody else along or we're inviting them into the process and we're trying to lead by example, things get done slower. Mm-hmm. They get done probably less than the standard that we would have if they're done our way immediately, and if we had absolute control over them.
Right.
So to some degree, this demands a level of personal sacrifice internally and externally. Mm-hmm. It's not just about serving, but it's also about letting go of some of that internal control and desire for everything to look the way that we want it to look all the time. I can give you kind of a funny example of this in my own life. So I'm going to say the one place that I know for sure I'm a little bit of a control freak is in the kitchen. So I do most of the cooking in our family. It's what my dad did growing up, and I love it. It's a hobby of mine. So I love cooking. I love when a meal comes together. I like doing things a specific way. I like the plating to look a nice way when I'm trying out a new recipe. My wife loves to do things together. Mm-hmm. And so as we got married and as we were kind of working through some of the early stages of marriage, I realized one really easy way that my need for control and my failure as a shepherd and kind of servant leader mm-hmm. was in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And that what my wife needed, what was green pastures and still waters and places of flourishing and joy
with you.
Was togetherness.
Yeah.
What was not important was how the food was prepared. What was not important was how fast it got done, or if my timing was perfect so the whole meal came together at the right time so it was all right, or if the red bell peppers were cut in this exact way, or the onion was diced perfectly. It's like, these are dumb things that don't actually matter.
Right.
And what I needed to remember is, like, the most important thing right here is how I'm shepherding my wife and that relationship.
Yeah, that's a great example. For me, it's in the shop. Mm. So I love my shop. I have lots of tools, and I like to work in there with all kinds of stuff. And as a dad growing up with two little boys, they wanted to be in the shop with me. Mm-hmm. And you can only imagine they would get tools out, and some of them I never found. Mm. And I'm a control freak when it comes to, if you use my tools, put them back in the toolbox where you found them.
Yep.
But I had to get to a point where I didn't want my shop to be an environment where they didn't want to be. Mm-hmm. So I went, okay, we'll just make it a good environment. Mm-hmm. So teaching my kids to, you know, when they were little boys and the welding helmet would barely fit on their head and they'd be over there on the floor just back and forth, just making mess on a piece of steel. But they enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And they enjoyed that time. And so I maybe didn't get everything done that I wanted to.
Of course not.
But both my boys love to still be in the shop and love to work on trucks, cars, weld stuff, fabricate things. Mm-hmm. And so that's fun for me now as an adult to see them want to be part of that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sean, do you have something that comes to your mind?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking about everything. You know, this is a good conversation. It makes me think. I'm glad we had Keith come on. This is the exact reason why our brain
appreciate
together
that.
On this. So, but yeah, just the relational aspect of all of this, right? I was, I hadn't brought it up, but it was John 10, 1 through 15, where Jesus talks about being the good shepherd. And one of the things I wrote down was relational. It says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. And so we're all talking about, my wife knows me, my boys, they know me, that they know the environment that I'm kind of creating. I know them as well too. So this mutual relation understanding is exactly what I'm just kind of smiling over here, because I'm seeing what I believe Jesus is asking us to do be played out in these relationships that we're talking about or advanced onto that.
Yeah. You talked about the rod and the staff.
Yeah.
And so there are times where as leaders, we have to make people toe the line, and it's how we approach that. Mm-hmm. And so with the kids, they always knew where our boundaries were. Mm-hmm. I think explaining those boundaries, did they always go right up to them and then back off? No. Our kids, even still today, in the, as adults, still are going past those boundaries, but the conversation is different. Mm-hmm. It's, look, hey, maybe it's breakfast and we're having an opportunity to talk and just want to share with them, I know what's going on in your life, I know where you're at, and do you know how this can affect your life?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a scolding. We're well past the scolding phase of life. It's just a conversation. But if I'm not continuing to show them what biblical boundaries, if that makes sense, I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
And I always, try to impress on them. It's because I love them.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I just love that you brought up that passage, Sean, because it is so relational. We have to be known by the people that we're leading. We have to
know.
They have to know and see that we love them.
Yeah.
Like this, that's a picture of leadership that I think I see often in the world, that it's like I am up in this ivory tower to some degree. Right. And it's like, I'm separate from the people that I'm leading, but that's not the image of a shepherd.
No, I'm down here.
I am among them. Yeah. I smell like them.
Yeah. Right.
And we should, we should smell like we have been with the sheep.
Sure. Yeah.
And whatever that means for our kids, whatever that means for our spouses, they know us and we know them intimately, personally. Yeah. And even at work, I think that's probably a harder picture to see it in a little bit more. And you talked about being known by the people that you're serving and leading in Jackson County by making yourself available to them, but also seeking to know them relationally by having meals with them, spending time with them. And I think that's a huge, huge opportunity that we have in the workforce here in Topeka and wherever you guys are listening. It's like, see your work as a mission field. See that as a flock that needs a shepherd, and you might be a person who is there to give some of that shepherding and leading and guiding and providing some of that wisdom.
Yeah, Liam, you talked about change, and people don't want to change. And and from my position, sometimes we have to change policy or the way we're doing things or just the way we're approaching things. But I think getting input from people and knowing that their opinions are valued, but they may not always be used, is important. But then just in those conversations and talking to those people, sometimes they just want to be heard as employees. Yep. And so those kinds of conversations are really important. But then you get to express, okay, I really appreciate why you feel about what, but here's why we're going the direction we're going. And that makes a huge difference to most people. Some people you'll never please, and you have to be able to deal with that too.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And I think that's a great point. It's like there's always an end to every analogy and every metaphor. And so when we're talking about shepherds and sheep, and when we're talking about people being, sheep that are part of our flock and we're leading, people are people. They're not animals. And so treating them with that respect and the dignity to invite them into the process is significant.
Yeah. It's a little tougher for the sheep's voice to be heard right now.
They don't get a voice.
Yeah. But I think circling back, it makes sense to why God wanted that specific, we are, his sheep, he is our shepherd. That analogy is there for the utmost reasons on that. I think one of the points I had too, that was a quality of a leader through this was visionary, right? So you're just talking about, talking to some of your other commissioners, and can you guys see what I've got going on here?
Right.
Same with Jesus and what God, can you see what I have going on here? Mm-hmm. If I were like trying to plug two things to read that tie into our, conversation outside of the masculine mandate would be John 10, the good shepherd, right? So as far as the vision, verse 16 says, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd, right? So it's like you're saying, we have this opportunity in this workplace where if you display these qualities of leadership in your work and in your household and in your church and in your friend group, and iron sharpens iron with our conversation and our friends, then God's plan can kind of continue to evolve on something like that. So I think John 10. And then you had talked about Psalm 23.
Yeah.
A good friend gave me a book, A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. Mm-hmm. So Philip, Philip Keller, check that one out. Anybody who's listening to that, that was a South African shepherd who breaks down.
Very practical.
Yeah. And that really kind of helped look into areas of my life where my leadership, you know, I'm not looking to be the leader of leaders. I just need to be a leader in my segment and my role where God has me. And that's
a great point.
Yeah. And I think one thing too that is a must when it comes to this kind of leadership is it takes initiative and pursuit. Mm-hmm. When you are a shepherd, the sheep are not the initiators, you know, and I think that is a major point of what it means to be a man when we're leading in our families, when we're leading with our kids, with our spouses in the workplace is, initiating and being the one that takes the first step into that valley with them. And that requires vision. That requires a vision of here's where we're going, and I'm going to be with you through this. I'm going to walk through this with you, and here's what's going to guide us through that time. It's like we have to reject that passivity.
Yeah, it's not always easy.
No,
but yeah, I think being there, you know, with your kids or whatever that situation may be, and going through those tough times with them, and just letting them know that that you're there, you support them, is really important. And the other thing that, you know, that we get to do, here at this church is to be part of other men's lives. So we can lean on, other guys, sharing experiences. I love being, with a diverse group of guys, your age, my age, older than me, you know, like Greg and Mitch, those guys, and drawing on their experiences. Just makes me a better leader.
Yeah.
And being able to bring somebody along, you know, if it's just on Sunday or Saturday night service and you see somebody and just saying hello and really asking, hey, how you doing? That type of thing and engaging them that way.
And that makes me want to make a quick plug for mentoring. Because, it was just there. That was a perfect setup. Like a couple of weeks ago, we had a group of guys get together and just spend some time looking at what it looks like to be a mentor. Mm-hmm. And to some degree, it's mentorship is shepherding guys through specific seasons of life and experiences because we've been there or we're willing to walk through it with them side by side. And so I just want to lay this out for anybody who's listening and has a desire to have somebody come alongside them that's looking for a mentor. Reach out, let me know. We've got a mentee application on our website on the men's ministry page. We would love to work with you to find somebody who can help you navigate through a relational season of life, different emotional difficulties, or even just, you know, vocationally, spiritually.
A leadership situation.
Exactly.
Anything at all. You know?
Yeah, we have such a great deep bench of guys who are qualified men of God who have been through so many different things. Like the three of us sitting here, we've all had very different life experiences and opportunities to walk with guys through a variety of different things because of that experience. So if that's something that you're hungering for, that you're looking for, I would highly encourage you to reach out. We want to work with you and walk with you through that season of life. And we have guys who are ready and willing to do that.
Yeah. And I think if the thought of mentoring somebody kind of freaks you out a little bit in the sense that, I don't understand the Bible well enough or whatever. And I don't let it stop you because really it's, you know, about sharing life together and doing just a very simple Bible study. But just sharing life with somebody and walking through wherever they may be at that point in their life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Totally agree. Yeah. Well, guys, is there anything else, Keith, Sean, that you guys would want to bring up in the realm of shepherd leadership? Any parting thoughts for the guys who are listening?
You know, this last question is how can I lead better? And I think for me is just to continue to be in prayer about whatever situation is going on. I mean, even going into a meeting. You know, so that you don't asking God to give you the right words, the right frame of mind, dealing with your kids or whatever. But to me, prayer is very important, and it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I echo what Keith said. I remember we'd had a conversation a few months ago talking about our desires, and you had shared that Psalm 23 was something, you know, you know that was on your mind when you're waking up and kind of throughout the day, throughout. So I've definitely implemented that. Just it's a very known psalm, but for a reason, and it's practical. So I've definitely living and never ceasing to pray. Just in constant spiritual step with God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus. And yeah, I just think about prayer or Psalm 23.
Yep.
Run that this month. Just with whatever leadership role, whatever desires, just run it and just see how your kind of heart and mind can kind of just take shape of maybe what God has for you on something.
I think like that's a great idea. Let that serve as a model for how you serve and shepherd and lead in the different environments that you have, whether it's with your spouse, with your kids, or in your workplace, or in the church.
Yeah.
These are all the spheres that we all share. Yeah. If you're not married, you still have friends, relationships that you are a servant leader in.
Shout out to single dudes out there.
Yeah. Like that doesn't mean that you don't have shepherding opportunities with you and before you. So Keith, thank you so much for being on the episode. Well, you brought a lot of wisdom and experience, and we appreciate your service and your leadership here at this church.
Yeah. I appreciate you too.
Yeah. So. Guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Awake Podcast. We will see you next time.